This morning's lesson, I chose to encourage us with regard to our Bible study, because this is a Bible class period. I wanted to remind us of a very important Bible principle, and that is keeping Bible passages in their context, in their broader context. If you talk with a real estate agent, they will tell you the key to the real estate business is what? What are the three words? Location, location, location. And for good Bible study, the three words are context, context, context. And so we must always be thinking context. And it doesn't matter where you're at, Genesis to Revelation, always be thinking context. And so this morning, I want to encourage us and give an example of how we can do that. And I want to use a well-known New Testament passage, and that is the great passage in Matthew 13 on the parables of Jesus. Now, let me ask you this. If I were to ask you, what is a parable of Jesus that you remember? What is a parable of Jesus that comes to your mind? Typically, one of the most well-known ones is the parable of the sower. That's one that we remember and that we know about. In fact, that parable of the sower comes in a chapter of several parables. And so this morning, we're going to look at the parables of Jesus by the sea. He borrowed Peter or John's boat and went out there a little ways into the water and used it as a podium, if you will, or a stage, and he did some teaching. If you can this morning, I want you to try to mark or hold with your hand two places. If you can turn to Mark 3 and Matthew 13 and kind of just hold that with your two hands, I want us to get the background this morning as we begin to look at this lesson. I want to set the context for Jesus' parables by the sea. And I'd like to start with Mark chapter 3 and verse 19. On this occasion, when Jesus is in Capernaum, look at Mark 3:19. The text says, and he comes into a house. And he comes into a house. Now, look at Matthew 13 and verse 1. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside. Mark 3:19, Jesus went into a house. Matthew 13:1, which is the parallel account, Jesus went out of the house and went down by the seaside. What is going on here is that Jesus is in a house and he casts out a demon. If you start reading in Mark 3:19, he comes into a house and there was a multitude there. This is the time where the scribes and the Pharisees charged Jesus with casting out demons by Beelzebub. You may remember that. And then Jesus taught this lesson about blaspheming the Holy Spirit. So they're in a house where all of this is going on. When this finishes, Jesus goes out of the house, Matthew 13:1, and he enters into a boat. And he was down there by the water and he taught these parables. So I want to get the setting and the context for this. So he's in a house where this healing is done. He leaves the house and enters a boat to teach God's word. Now, look at this. This is really important. And again, this morning, we're not just learning about some parables. We're learning about this very important Bible study of when you're somewhere in the Bible, as much as you can, read above and read below and get the context. It is a very important principle, no matter where you are in the Word of God. So, we typically jump right into the parable of the sower. But this morning, I'm trying to remind us of this principle. Get the context. It will enlighten what we're actually wanting to study. That's very important all over the Word of God. So, look at this. Let's just use Matthew's account, since I believe Matthew 13 might have been the last thing that I referenced there. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50. Matthew 12, 46 through 50. So get the setting. He has cast out this demon. The scribes and Pharisees say to him, you do that by Beelzebub. Jesus says, no, that's not the case. You're actually blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And then look at what happens. Matthew 12:46. While he was yet speaking to the multitudes, that's in this house that he's in. Behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, seeking to speak to him. And one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, seeking to speak to thee. But he answered and said unto them that told him, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hands toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Now look at this. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. If you look at the parallel account in Mark chapter 3 and verse 35, whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and sister and mother. And if you want to turn over to the parallel account in Luke chapter 8 and verse 21, my mother and my brethren are those that hear the word of God and do it. Luke 8:21. Hear the word of God, or do the will of my Father. That is literally the last thing he said, and then he goes out and gets into a boat and begins to teach what we call these parables by the sea. Now, before we even go any farther in the lesson, do you have an idea of what those parables might be about, given the fact that the last thing he said was, whosoever does the word of God or the will of God is my spiritual family. They're going to surround this idea of, the parables are going to surround this idea of the very last thing that he talked about. And that is doing God's word and God's will. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 13 now. There are 9 parables that are given on this day. I don't know about you, but I grew up hearing all about the parables of Jesus. But often when we do this, we will, Mark or myself or someone will stand up and tonight I want to preach on the parable of the sower. And then a few months will go by and I'd like to preach on the parable of the pearl of great price or something like that in the same chapter. Sometimes we separate those parables so much that we're forgetting that they're all on the same day. They're all on the same day. They're all on the same occasion, okay? And they all have to do with the same topic, hearing and doing the word of God and the will of God. We may not realize that, but that's exactly what's going on. So in order to learn this principle of get the context, keep everything in its context, I wanted to illustrate that this morning with this lesson. The context is, Jesus has been in a house, and the last thing he says is, whosoever does the will of God or the word of God, depending upon which parallel account you're using, they are my mother and my brethren. And then he goes out, Matthew 13:1, gets in a boat, and he begins to teach these 9 parables. Now, if you look in Matthew 13, there's not 9. One is missing. You've got to get the parallel account in Mark chapter 4, the parable of the seed that grows. So when you add that in, which is found in Mark's account only, then you get these 9 parables. Number 2 on the PowerPoint there, the seed that is growing, that's found in Mark only. So when you add them all together, they're 9. They're all taught on the same occasion, and we're going to find out this morning that they all deal with the same point. Hearing and doing the will of God, because that's what Jesus had just said before getting into the boat. It's a great lesson this morning to illustrate this point about keeping things in their context. Just speaking for myself, through the years, I have preached on all of these parables, all of them at some time. But I've preached on them at such a disjunct point in my life that you don't really understand that they're all together. And they are all together. So let's look then this morning at Jesus' parables by the sea. And let's notice this morning that in all of them, they teach the same basic lesson, and that is the importance of hearing and doing the word and the will of God. So let's begin with Matthew chapter 13. Turn with me to Matthew 13. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus begins to teach the parable of the sower. Matthew 13, 1, on that day, Jesus went out of the house, we've already established that, and sat by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, Matthew 13, 2, so that he entered into a boat and sat, and all the multitude stood on the beach. And he spake, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went forth to sow. Behold, the sower went forth, and he sowed some, and some fell by the wayside. Verse 4, and the birds came and devoured them. Others fell upon the rocky places where they had not much earth. And straightway they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was risen, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And others fell upon the thorns and grew up, and the thorns grew up and choked them, and others fell upon the good ground and yielded fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And we're very familiar with this parable. This parable of the sower in the soils is asking the question, how will you react to the hearing of God's word? This first parable deals with the reception of the word of God. How will you hear the word of God? What kind of heart do you have? The different soils, as we know, represent different hearts. But Jesus is trying to teach the lesson, as a soil receives seed, what kind of heart do you have? So this morning, what kind of heart do we have to receive the word of God? And will it grow? Do we have a good and honest heart? Or do we have a heart that is eventually going to choke out the word of God? Do we have a heart where the word of God is not going to be able to get down deep and have that soil? Are we going to have a heart that is wayside or thorny, you see, or rocky? What kind of heart do we have? So the last thing that Jesus said before he went out of the house and got in a boat was, he that hears the word of God and does the will of my Father. And then he goes out there and gets in the boat and teaches nine parables that deal with the disciple and their relationship with the word of God one way or the other. That's the context. That's the setting. And that's what I want us to see and hear this morning. So the first parable that he taught was the parable of the sower. And we won't take time, if you're in Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 15, he quotes from Isaiah and talks about how some will have hardened hearts. And then in verses 16 through 23, he gives the explanation of the parable of the sower, where we begin to learn that the seed is the word of God and these soils represent hearts. And so what kind of a heart are we going to have? Will we receive the word of God? Will we have patience with the word of God? Then look at the parable. You've got to turn with me now to Mark chapter 4. The next parable that was taught, according to Mark chapter 4, is the parable of the seed that is growing. And in this parable, Jesus is trying to teach the importance of patience. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4 and verse 26. So according to Mark's account, this is the one parable, the parable of the seed that is growing in the field. This is one that Mark includes that is not found in Matthew 13 or Luke 8. So Mark chapter 4 and verse 26. What did Jesus follow up with? Well, he said, the kingdom of heaven is as a man should cast a seed upon the earth and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow, and he knows not how. The earth bears fruit of herself, first the blade, and then the ear, then the full grain. But when the fruit is ripe, straightway or immediately he puts forth the sickle, because the harvest is come. So a farmer goes out and he plants the seed. He knows he's done his part, but he's got to be patient and let really God and God's nature and God's laws take the rest of the way. And so the seed growing is teaching the lesson of, will you be patient while God develops and grows his word in your life? We don't become the Christian that we need to be overnight. The next day after baptism, we're not the Christian that we need to be. There's a growing process. And so number one, we need to react and hear the word of God with a humble and good heart. Number two, we need to be patient while that word of God grows and develops in our life. All of us here this morning that have been Christians for some time, we would readily admit that we've grown and matured. We've gotten better in our marriage. We've gotten better as a parent. It takes some time. I'm a better husband today. I still need work. I still have got a ways to go, but I'm better today than I was the day I got married. There's a process that takes place in maturing and growing and developing and making sure the Word of God is in our life. And so that's what's being taught with this parable. So before we move on, James chapter 1 and verse 21, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And so let's be receptive of the word of God, and let's be patient as the word of God grows in our life. Let's look at the next series of parables. So turn back with me now to Matthew chapter 13, and we will spend the rest of our time now in Matthew 13. So come with me to Matthew 13, verse 24, the parable of the tares. What is the parable of the wheat and the tares teaching? Matthew 13, 24. Another parable set he before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the blade sprang up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. And the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, did thou not sow good seed in the field? Whence then has it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servants say unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest haply while you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say unto the reapers, gather first the tares and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, there is a comment that is made in verse 31, where Matthew records that Jesus begins to teach about the mustard seed, and we'll come back to that, and the leaven. And then that verse 33, Jesus spake many things in parables, and then the quotation is given there in verse 35, I will open my mouth in parables, the quotation from Psalms. And then in verse 36, the interpretation of the parable of the wheat and tares. The parable of the wheat and tares is teaching the lesson, will you obey God's word and be a son of the kingdom, or will you obey the enemy's word? There's in our lives, there's a choice of wheat and tares. And God has his word planted, but the devil comes along. And through error and false teaching and other kinds of things, he plants his seed, if you will, called tares. That was darnel. It was a weed. It was a poisonous, noxious weed. And so in life, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is you're going to be in a situation where you have to choose between God's word or what the devil wants in your life. So choose the word of God that will make us to become a son of the kingdom. Where do I get that? Verse 38, the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. We have a choice of listening to truth or error. We have a choice to listen between what is right or wrong, what is good or evil. Both of that is set before us in life, and you have to make the choice. Well, how do you make the choice? We have our Bibles open and we learn the Word of God. But understand, for every opportunity you have to hear the Word of God in our culture today, And unfortunately, in the Lord's church, you also have an opportunity to hear what is wrong and what is erroneous and what is false. And so you've got to be discerning and understanding and knowledgeable of the Word of God. That's why, again, as I said the other day, daily Bible reading is so important. But then Jesus teaches the parable of the dragnet. Now, let's skip over for just a moment the parable of the mustard seed and the leaven and come down with me now after Jesus gives the explanation of the wheat and tares. Come down with me now to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 47. Matthew 13, 47. The parable of the dragnet is teaching the same basic lesson as the parable of the wheat and tares. In the parable of the wheat and tares, there's a field that has both good seed and bad seed in it. In the parable of the dragnet, there's a net that has good fish in it and things that we're not going to eat. Okay? So it's the same basic principle. There's one thing, either a field or a net, and there is a choice between good and bad. And so the parable of the dragnet goes together with the parable of the tares. Let's read it. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was filled, they drew up on the beach and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but the bad they cast away. Just as a side note, if these were Jewish fishermen on the Sea of Galilee, if you go back and read Leviticus chapter 11, there were certain kinds of things, sea creatures, that they were not allowed to eat. They were considered unclean. And so they would be separating that which were allowed to eat by the law of Moses and that which were not allowed to eat. So it shall be in the end of the world. The angels shall come forth, sever the wicked from among the righteous, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, where there shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. When we're in the world, we have to decide, are we going to be righteous or wicked? Look at verse 49 and verse 50, righteous or wicked. We have to decide if we're going to follow the word of God or the word of man. Will we remain righteous until Jesus comes again, or will we become wicked? So it's this choice between good and evil, good and bad. The choice between what God wants in our life and what the enemy wants in our life. Are we going to be a son of the kingdom or a son of the evil one? Of course, the devil. So in this first two, and I didn't make this point at the beginning, I forgot to mention this. Most of these parables, with the exception of the very last one, the parable of the householder, most of these parables come in pairs. That's, if those of you who are taking notes, you'll want to make a note of that. The parable of the sower and the parable of the seed growing in the field, that's a pair. The wheat and tares and the dragnet, that's a pair. And Jesus is teaching in pairs, and he's making these points. And so the second point is there will be an enemy out there trying to mislead you. And there will be wicked people around you. And that's a trial that we all have to face. But we're not going to succumb to that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, the god of this world, the devil, small g, the god of this world, has blinded the hearts so that they do not see the light of the gospel. We live in a world where the devil is also trying to sow his seed, and we've got to stay away from that. And in John 17, 14 through 18, Jesus said of his disciples, they will be in the world. I pray that you do not take them out of the world. They're going to be in the world, but keep them from the evil one. Let's look at the next pair of parables. So turn back with me now to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31. Let's look at the mustard seed and the leaven. What is Jesus trying to teach with regard to God's word? Well, again, am I going to receive the word of God, and am I going to be patient and let it grow? Am I going to hear the word of God and stay away from the word of the devil? That's the next set. Here's the next pair he teaches with the mustard seed and the leaven. am I going to let God's word grow in my life and ultimately let it influence all through, be pervasive all throughout my life like leaven? Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31. Another parable set he before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto grain, a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, and when which is indeed less than all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the heaven come and lodge in the branches thereof. Am I going to let God's word grow into something real in my life? I'm not just going to be a bench warmer, a pew warmer, a Church of Christ here. I'm going to come in, and God's word is going to grow all throughout my life. And look at the matter of the leaven. Will you let the word of God spread throughout and influence your whole life? Not like a piece of pie. I'll give God just a little old wedge of my life, a little old piece of my life, but the rest of it is for me and the world and the devil. No, it's going to spread all throughout. It's going to affect my marriage, my parenting, as a member of the church, what kind of a neighbor I am, what kind of a student I am at school, what kind of a worker I am at my job. It's going to spread all throughout my life. As a citizen, as a church member, as a husband, as a father, is it going to spread all throughout and work? So that's the leaven. Look at Matthew chapter 13, 33, another parable he spake. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. All leavened. I'm going to let it spread throughout all my life. It's going to touch every aspect of my life. Jesus, in the parables by the sea, there are nine of them, and they come in pairs, with the exception of the last one, they come in pairs, and it all centers around the very last thing he said when he was in the house. He that hears the word of God and does the will of my Father is my mother and my brethren. And we're beginning to see the context of Matthew 13. Will you let the word of God grow into something great in your life? In verses 31 and 32, we have a seed, and the end process is a tree for birds to come. A little seed, and now something much greater and more beautiful. Will you let it work that way in your life and in my life? And will we let it spread to every aspect and not say, well, I'm going to guard this little part of my life and not let God in? Every aspect is going to be leavened like the leaven that goes throughout the meal. And if you've ever had homemade bread, ooh, man, that puts store-bought bread to shame, doesn't it? Good old loaf of homemade bread. And then put our brother's honey on top, maybe a little butter, hot cup of coffee. Boy, you've got it made. We love the way that tastes because the whole thing is properly cooked and baked and put together. And that's the way it is in our life if we'll let God work that way. And so let's long for the spiritual milk of the word by which we might grow unto salvation. And let's let the word of God spread and run. Mark might appreciate this, and it might go well with your theme this year, running the race. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, Paul prayed that the word of God may run. The word there is which we get our English word trek, to make a trek. Let it run. Let it go. In fact, one of our deacons texted me when I was at the airport on Wednesday, and he was referencing that passage, that the word of God may run. Just let it go. Let it spread. Let it influence our life and our kids' lives. Let it run. Open it up and let it go in every aspect of our life, like that leaven. Let's look at the next set or pair of parables. Come with me to Matthew chapter 13 now, after Jesus explains the wheat and the tares. Come with me to verse 44. the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price. What is Jesus trying to teach with this pair? Well, he's trying to teach that there is joy in God's word and that there is a price to be paid. Matthew 13:44, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Are you truly happy when you open up your Bible? I don't know about you, but when I open up my Bible, I enjoy it. I love it. I love to learn new words. I love to learn concepts. I love to learn things that I'd learned before and I'd forgotten about. We need to love Bible study. And this man who finds this treasure, look at what the text says. In his joy, he goes, you see, and sells all that he has. Do we love to learn? That needs to be our attitude. Not that it's a chore, it's a bore. Oh, I've got to get my Bible class lesson. Oh, the teacher's going to call on me when I get into class, and I've got to know answers. Oh, I don't want that. There are brethren who don't like to learn. One time, my father was probably more of a gospel teacher than he was a gospel preacher. It seemed like he wanted to teach and explain maybe more than other things. And one time he was preaching in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, and a visitor came that day, and a lady, and on the way out of the building, she said, I didn't really care much for the service. I felt like I was in school. And Dad took that as a compliment. Well, great. I'm glad you learned something. Dad would always try to teach and explain and let's have a better understanding. And what does this Greek word mean? And I know that Mark does that a lot. And I've heard Mark's lessons and watched his lessons. And he does a lot of word studies and things. We've got to learn and we've got to enjoy learning. That's how we know and understand and go out and do God's will. Let's be happy with that. Are we happy to find the Word of God and do whatever it takes to get it into our life? Boy, we make all kinds of sacrifices on other things. Well, I'm going to really sacrifice to save for that summer vacation. I'm really going to sacrifice to buy that new swimming pool in the backyard. And I'm really going to sacrifice for this or that. We've got to do whatever it takes to get God's Word in our life because that's what saves us. God saves us through His Word. And do we recognize the great value of God's Word? And so in verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that is a merchant seeking a goodly pearl, and having found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. I'm going to do whatever it takes to have God's Word in our life. And that needs to be our attitude. I am so discouraged sometimes to know that we live in a country where the Word of God is everywhere, including on our phone now, which is a good thing. And yet so many people don't want it in their life. Jeremiah found the Word of God to be a joy. Jeremiah went through so many struggles, so many emotional ups and downs in his preaching career, so many people that didn't like him. And this is one of the higher moments in his life. In Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16, the words were found and I did eat them, and the words were unto me a joy and a rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name. And in Psalm 119 verse 72, the psalmist says, God's word is greater to me than gold and silver. Let us have that love. One thing that Dad did instill in us as his sons who are preaching the gospel is to sit there during the day with a Bible open and just love to learn and then share that with others. Do that with your children. Do that with your grandchildren. Let them see in you a love for the Word of God. Talk about it a lot. Bring it up a lot. share with them things that you've learned and show excitement about, hey, I learned this today from the Word of God. Text your kids. I will do that from time to time. Hey, did you all know such and such? I was reading this the other day in God's Word. Did you all know that? Show excitement to them about learning. Teachers, show excitement. Preachers and teachers and parents and grandparents, show excitement about learning the Word of God. And then last of all, turn with me to the parable of the householder in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 51. One last lesson that Jesus wants to teach about the Word of God is kind of has a dual component to it. That there needs to be the study of the Word of God, and there needs to be the pulling together of God's Word from both the Old and the New Testament. Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 51. Have you understood all these things? This is very important to catch this, brethren. In verse 51, the key word here is understand. Did you know that Jesus began and closed this day with the concept of understanding? Okay? Turn back with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And verse 10. Why do you speak unto them in parables? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but whosoever has not, from which he has taken away, even that which he has. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Underscore that in your Bible. Verse 13, I want us to understand the Word of God, and some people don't want that because verse 14 and 15, they've closed their eyes and ears. They don't want to understand the Word of God. So he opens up this day with the concept of understanding, verse 13, and then he comes back to it in verse 51. Do you understood, or have you understood all of these things? They said, yes. Well, then look at what he says. And he said unto them, therefore, since you understand, every scribe, this is someone who's not just simply writing the law of Moses, but studying it and teaching it. Remember Ezra 7:10? Ezra, when he came back from the Babylonian captivity, is described as a ready scribe. But when you read about his life, he's not just writing letters. He is copying God's law, but he's also teaching it. So a scribe is learning God's word, teaching it to others. And so the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a scribe who has been made a disciple to the kingdom. A person who is reading and studying the Word of God is now a follower of Christ. What is Jesus teaching here? The importance of studying the Word of God and learning it. That's the kind of disciple that God wants, a knowledgeable one. Otherwise, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We have to be a Bible-based church at Adu Street. Bible-based preaching, Bible-based teaching, Bible in our lives every day, daily Bible reading. We learn and know, and we're not going to be taken away by the things of the world. So the scribe, someone who studies, but keep reading. This scribe who's been made a disciple to the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that is a householder who brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. Here is the point. God's Word has to be studied like a scribe. We've got to learn and study and grow. Have our Bibles open, look at the Word of God, check everything that Mark says or that John says in the Bible class. Study it, look at it, examine it. That's the scribe. But then he goes on to say, a householder. A householder has old objects, has new objects. What is Jesus trying to teach? Well, there's a double point here. Bringing out things old and new. First of all, there's the point that God's Word is a unity. God's word is a unity. And so there will be, when Jesus came and began to preach the kingdom, there's going to be old things, Old Testament prophecies, Old Testament types and antitypes, Old Testament figures. That's the old. And Jesus started with the old and he built on that and he taught new principles. So the first thing that Jesus is teaching here is unity. Things in the Old Testament are unified with things in the New Testament. But the second thing that he's teaching here is that the old leads to the new. And so all of those Old Testament prophecies and types, it leads to the coming of Jesus Christ. So with regard to what Jesus was teaching, and even the rest of the disciples in the New Testament, it's based upon the Old Testament being joined with the new. So there's a concept there of unity, and then there's also a concept there of progression. And once the Old Testament law was fulfilled, then it was done away, and now we have the progression into, it leads to the New Testament. So what Jesus is teaching here is two things, the study and the unity of the Word of God. And so, I remember hearing this passage quoted a lot growing up, and it's a good passage to use. And it's not just for the man of God. Paul was talking to Timothy, a preacher, but it's for all of us, that we might be someone who takes the Word of God very seriously. I'm hearing in some quarters, and I would be ashamed to say this actually, but I'm hearing in some quarters that even a preacher might say something like, well, you know, I don't really focus on the details of the Word of God and that kind of thing. I would be embarrassed to say that. In 2 Timothy chapter 2:15, if I want to be approved of God, look at that verse 15, approved of God. I'm not worried about crowds, approved of men. Paul said, if you want to be approved of God, that's the main thing. Then you give diligence, or your version might say study. Give diligence, the spoudazo, to put a really strong effort into it. Give diligence to present yourself approved of God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. Handling aright. Your version might say rightly dividing the word of truth. Ortho tomeo, ortho, straight. Tomeo, to cut. Cut a straight line. Be accurate with the Word of God. Be precise with the Word of God. Be careful with the Word of God. That's what's implied by a straight cut. Ladies, if you're back in the day when you put out the pattern out there and you're making your own clothes and sewing and things, you've got to cut very carefully. And in manufacturing today, when there are patterns used, you got to cut very carefully. You go under the knife and go up here to Houston to one of the big hospitals to have a surgery. You want that heart surgeon to cut very carefully, right? You don't want him to be just willy-nilly cutting all over the place. But with that doctor's scalpel to just cut very carefully, that's how God wants us to handle the Word of God. And so, brethren, this morning, the parables of Jesus by the sea are teaching to let God's word and will work these ways in our life. I hope that's been helpful. Thank you for your time and attention this morning.